Amen, church. Let's get in the scriptures. Amen. I know that's why we're all here. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Again, like I said, I was very inspired by the workshop and really filled with faith and super excited to get to work and continue another year for what God is going to do here in Sacramento. And we know and we believe He wants to do great things. And He can do great things. I really want to preach a lesson this morning. And Lord willing, you came here to hear the Word of God, not me. And we're going to follow the Scriptures here. And we really want to put a message and put upon your heart the heart that it's going to continue to take to see the impossible happen here in Sacramento. Our God is awesome. And He's incredible. I mean, I do appreciate Gorda leading us in communion right there and telling us how awesome God is and how much He loves us. We know this from another scripture. Psalm 103 and verse 11 says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him." See, God's great. God's love is so great that it's as high as above the heavens are above the earth. That there are no limits to how much God loves you this morning, church. God has no limits. This is an incredible love. We're reminded of this and how much God loves us in Romans chapter 5, if you're there with me, in verse 6. It says, "You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man some might dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's a super encouraging scripture right there. And I love it. It says, at just the right time. Like, that's incredible to think about. Just the right time, somebody shared their faith with you and invited you on out to Bible talk. At just the right time, in that moment when you were going through a lot and you were begging God, "Please give me an answer what I got to do." Somebody asked you to study the scriptures.
Amen.
At just the right time. Isn't that? God is our hero. Right? Swooping down and sending us free. And I love the scriptures because it says, hey, this is how God demonstrates His own love for us. That He sent His Son to die for us. While we were still sinners. Think about that for a second. Right, that's why it says, like, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. For a good man, somebody might dare to die. Like, sure, you know, I mean, Ryan's a good guy. I'll jump in front of a truck for him, you know. Like, somebody do that, right? But very rarely would somebody die for, like, an unrighteous guy. But this just shows the incredible limit to what God is not willing to do and how much He loves us. And while we were still messed up and jacked up, He loved us unconditionally. Isn't that incredible? Like, there's no limits, right? And think about us, how we can be in relationships at times. Like, oh, you heard me? Okay, fine. I'll go that far, but I'm not going any further for you. Like, can we be like that sometimes? You know, like, okay, I'll do this, but man, please don't ask me to do that. Right? Are you with me? We see this in marriages. I mean, some of us that are married, you know, amen. And you guys will figure this out pretty soon. Right now, you guys are on the honeymoon thing. Amen. It's good. Right? It's awesome, man. You know, Ryan, Lewis, you'll experience that. But, you know, it's just like, so we can do limits at times, right? But for us, we got to remind this morning that there are no limits to God. There's nothing He's not willing to do for us. That God showed this through Jesus, that He would die for us to save us and set us free. He was willing to do that, that you could have a relationship with Him this morning. We serve a God of no limits.
Come on.
We're called to be like Jesus. Himself, who we follow, Himself, who had no limits. Let me tell you what, that's true Christianity, church. To have no limits. We're reminded of this in Luke 9, verse 23 to 25, or just right before Jesus said that He was going to go die and suffer this life to set us free, He tells His disciples, hey, verse 23, then He said to them all, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow Me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for Me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit their very self?" See, right here, Jesus tells us, hey, here's what it takes. If you really want to follow Me, you really want to be My disciple, you really want to experience true Christianity, There can't be any limits. I don't have any limits, so therefore you got to follow in my footsteps and have no limits. You got to be willing to give up everything and lay down your life for me. There's no other way. That's what he was willing to do for us. Isn't that incredible? And what is our response? The same thing. Are you with me? This church, Jesus' church, was built on this conviction. That we're not here for this world. That we're willing to give up our life for many to be saved and have a relationship with God. This church right here this morning was built with that same conviction. Whatever it takes, right? And we've seen God do tremendous things because our hearts are willing to do the same. Are you with me? Because of that, we've seen lives change. Incredible young men and women find God. We've seen people restored to the Lord. Amen. Right? We've seen marriages happen. Amen. Incredible, impossible things happen. You know, we have funded the movements in an incredible way to see great things happening now, starting to happen all over the world. And the Sacramento is starting to take place a part of that. Does that fire you up? And when you hear and read about the things, the incredible miracles that are happening in Lagos, Nigeria, to see what's going on in Dubai, and knowing that your efforts and your sacrifice, because you're willing to do whatever it takes, has allowed that to happen. Does that fire you up this morning? See, I put before you, if we're going to make it to heaven, if we're going to win this world for Jesus, and that is his desire, then it's going to take us having no limits. If we're going to have the year of the impossible, and I put before you, we have to be a people with no limits. And that's why I simply entitled my lesson, Without Limits. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about three things, and I'm going to sit down. The first one, if we're going to have a life without limits, and the first thing we got to talk about is limitless life of prayer. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. And like I said this morning, a thing that stuck out for me and that I was really challenged in was really to take my prayer life to a whole nother level. I just really just heard God just saying that's just what needs to happen. That I got to be rooted in my communication with my God. If we are going to do the impossible, if we're going to continue to see the miracles that he wants to do, I have to beg him to move. I have to live a life of limitless prayer. In Luke 18, we got an incredible parable right here that Jesus shares. In verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but he finally said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't wear me out eventually with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will they keep putting you off? I tell you, he will see them get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" It's a great parable that Jesus shared with the disciples. And I love how he opens it up. The scripture says, hey, this is how Jesus showed them how you should always pray. This is one of the things taken away from the workshop that I think it was Andrew Smelly that said it. Like, not to have a prayer life, but a life of prayer. That's just what we do. Are you with me? We just live a life that we're always praying. And praying and never giving up. And let me tell you what, that's the true test right there of a disciple. We'll talk about that in a little bit right here. About just never giving up. And never underestimate the power of just being persistent and steadfast. Right? I might not be the most spiritual guy in the room. I might not be the most talented. But let me tell you what, I'm not giving up. Right? That's the way I'm on the basketball court. Right, Tyler? No matter how many jumpers and shoots am I. You know, like, I'm not giving up. I'm in there. Right? Just sitting there for the long haul, right? I mean, that's just what it means to follow Jesus. Right? But especially in our prayer life. I love it. The widow, you know, is with this judge. The judge is supposed to be God. Just came like, I want justice. And you got a picture of she was coming like every single day. And that's what we do in prayer. Every day.
Just begging God. Being persistent. Not giving up.
And I thought, it's just like, man, I gotta give her this or else she's going to wear me out. Like, we can wear God out. You know, where you can move his heart and beg him to move on your behalf.
Come on.
Right? Isn't that incredible? And that's what it's saying right there. You just keep throwing up prayers like, God, I want to see this happen. God, I want to see this happen. You know, you pray throughout the day. You pray the next day. You pray the next day. You're praying all year. You're probably praying for 5 years, maybe 10 years, but you flat are not giving up because you believe it's going to happen. That's our faith. And that's what Jesus says, like, hey, when the Son of Man comes, will he not find faith on the earth?
Amen.
Right? It's all about faith. And just our belief and just being flat, persistent.
Yep.
It's why we don't have any limits, right? You ever been that? Ever been that situation? Maybe you think some of us have been that situation. We're like, all right, God, I want to see this happen, and then that's it. You never pray about it again.
Yeah.
And you're like, and then you kind of get upset, like, I prayed about it. You're like, well, you only prayed like one time. You know what I'm talking about? You know, but if you really want to see change, you really want to move God, man, it's just you're just limitedly just praying about this and throwing up all the time and never giving up. Many of us in this room want to see things happen in our life.
Yeah.
We want to see miracles. I think we all have that in common. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Right? And the test is like, man, how much do you believe? Right? And you got to believe that God, he says, verse 7, will he not bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? See right there? It's a life of prayer. But you are chosen. You're God's son, you're God's daughter. He's adopted you. And you can walk in to his throne of grace anytime you want.
That's awesome.
Come on.
And he's right there to listen. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
You just think about that. You know, like a little kid, like a little Jesse, like anytime we walk in a grocery store or whatever like that, she's always asking me for stuff. You know, like, this is like her father. Like, this is like God. He's walking like, Dad, can I have this? Can I see this happen? Right? Sometimes you think that God isn't answering you, and sometimes right now the answer is like, hey, not right now. That's what it tells Jesse. Like, no, you don't need a Snickers bar right now. Okay? You just got a bunch of candy for your birthday. All right. And let me talk about Christmas. You got a bunch of candy right there.
Come on.
Jesus had a life of prayer. Luke 5, verse 16 says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places where he prayed. The first century church had a life of prayer. Acts 1, verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Prayer grew the church, and it's what sustained them to help them to stay faithful and not give up when they were going through intense persecution.
Amen.
See, prayer is going to move the heart of God to make the impossible happen for you. Prayer is going to help you to see the miracles happen in your life. Prayer is going to help your family members become disciples one day.
Amen.
Prayer is going to help you be bold in your evangelism. What it says in Acts chapter 4, it's like, God, help us be bold and speak your word powerfully.
Yeah.
Prayer is going to help you have a deeper relationship with God as you tap into the Holy Spirit and you say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empty myself so I can understand your word more.
Yep.
Prayer is going to help you find that special someone.
Come on,
are you with me?
Come on.
Some of you are like, all these marriages happen. Like, when's that going to happen for me? Like, what's going on, right? You believe your prayer that God's going to blow somebody your way. I'm like, whoa, I never noticed him or her before. Like, wow. It's true. Prayer is what's going to help you overcome whatever character, whatever weakness, whatever sin. Prayer is a thing that's going to help you surrender to God's will like Jesus had to do in Matthew 26, struggling with having to go to the cross. But he got his heart back. Prayer is what's going to help get the church to 50 sold out disciples by the end of the year, which is our goal. Prayer is going to get that done. Prayer is going to help us blow out our special missions. Are you with me? So we can fund the Hong Kong mission team. Amen. That's going to happen this year. Prayer is what's going to get us to UC Davis.
Amen.
And why? Because we believe we serve a mighty God.
Yes.
That there is no limit to what he can do.
Come on.
He created this universe. Right. We understand how awesome our God is.
Come on.
The guy that created the cosmos, the Milky Way.
You know, the ocean, as Tyler was saying today, is like so deep. People don't even know what the heck is down in there. There's still places they haven't explored.
Yeah.
Like God created all that.
Right.
There are no limits to His creativity. There are no limits to His ability. There's no limits to what He can't do and make happen in your life.
Wow.
This is what we believe.
Yep.
And I believe this is going to be the year impossible for me. And I'm preaching this point to myself. I've got to have a life of limitless prayer.
Come on, brother.
That's just me. That's what's going to help me be a better husband. It's going to help me be a better father, a better son, a better brother. That I'm rooted in my prayer life. Are you with me, church?
Come on,
because of that, we will see God do incredible things. Turn with me to John chapter 6. A life of limitless prayer. The next thing we got to have is limitless commitment.
Come on, bro.
In John chapter 6, we find an incredible scene where Jesus is teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And it's this moment, and we're going to pick it up in the latter half, where He's telling them that He is the bread of life. Now, they were having a hard time believing that He was the Son of Man. And now He's telling them, hey, I am the bread of life. All right, so one of the I am statements right there, right?
Yeah.
And let me tell you what, it rubs them the wrong way. But not only just challenges them, you're going to see who else it challenges as well. In verse 52, we'll pick it up there. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How could this man give us his flesh to eat? He just got done, you got to eat my flesh.
Yeah.
Verse 43, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. See, Jesus isn't lying.
Right.
Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoa. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. You see right here, he's telling them, like, hey, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He's basically, unless you remain in me, unless you feast on me, you're not going to live. And we know that Jesus, we got to remain in Jesus in the vine, right? In order to make it. Are you with me? Right? And I love it how he's like related to them, like, hey, just like Moses, like, hey, provided manna, right, for your ancestors. Now that sustains you in the desert,
right.
I'm what sustains you now spiritually. And if you don't eat of me, you're not going to make it.
Right.
Totally challenges their socks off, right?
Yeah.
Let's see how they responded. Verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching, and who can accept it? See, to remain in Jesus, to be called to Jesus, to be called to His Word, to be called to feast on Him, and to be called to discipleship. Let me tell you what. That's a hard teaching.
Yeah.
To give up everything.
Yeah.
To totally change. To obey God.
Yeah.
Is a hard teaching. That's a great question. Who can accept it? Right? Sometimes you study the Bible, people are like, man, who can be saved? Like, who can accept that, right?
Yeah.
Like, see, if everybody really believed in true Christianity, then this room would be a lot bigger. A lot more people would, if this was easy, everybody would do it.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, sadly, religious leaders and things like that have watered down Christianity and made it easy and cheap grace and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But when you're really rooted in Jesus and really called to follow Jesus, let me tell you, you're going to respond the same exact way. Who can accept this? Right? Who can accept it? Verse 61. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Ooh. Not the religious leaders, but his disciples. Like, you're calling me to eat on you and remain in you and feast on you? Oh, dude, do we have to do that? Dude, that's not cool either, man. That's not right. Like, hey, Peter, come over here, man. Let's have a little discussion over here. You hear this grumbling, like Jesus sees them, like, does this offend you? Like, oh. He heard, and Jesus knows people's thoughts, right? I mean, right there. Like, I know exactly what you just said about me, how you feel about me. going after my character, my personality, right? See, this can happen. And we can start grumbling at the call of discipleship. We can start grumbling at the call of commitment and to obey God's word. We can start to grumble at the cost of what it's going to take to win this world. We can grumble. We can grumble, start to grumble that we don't have control of our life anymore. We can start to grumble that we're called to be like Jesus and we're flat simply called to die. And it gets challenging. The call of discipleship. The call to obey God's word. The call to be sold out and to stay salty. Right? The older that you get, the harder it gets. Why? Because you get a little more set in your ways and like you can talk the game and kind of minimize your way out and you get a little cynical and stuff like that and you know, you can, you know, combat stuff and like, and when you're doing all that, you're looking for that guy or girl that's going to grumble with you.
Like, dude, Jacob's just like calling us to do a pledge drive, so bro, how do you feel about that? So I'm fired up. Yeah, I'm fired up too. Right. Bro, Jacob started to tell us to do pledge drive and stuff and just sacrifice. I didn't feel like, bro, I'm kind of struggling. I'm struggling too. You know? And then you go find somebody else like, dude, I'm struggling too. Yeah, we're all struggling. Next thing you know, you got half the room that's completely grumbling. Another half is like fired up, right?
That's not the church of God.
And
that's what Jesus, does this offend you? See, what happens is, when you're called to obey Jesus, and you're called to be committed to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what you start doing? You start to feel offended. And you start making it about the person. You start making it about the church.
Yeah.
And the reality is the issue that you have is actually with God and with Jesus.
Yeah.
See, it's easy to point the finger like, no, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
No, that's what that scripture means to you. That's your interpretation. Are you with me? You start like, well, you guys this and you guys this. When the reality is the issue is you just don't want to repent. You don't want to change. You don't want to obey Jesus. You don't want to feast on Jesus. The issue you have is with God and His Word, not people. That's the issue. You know how I know? Because I've totally done it. Some of you got to meet Jeremy Charmello, leads the Phoenix Church down there. Like, they come to you and be like, oh, this is the guy you're talking about. Like, let me tell you how many times that guy offended me. How many times we're sitting at a table in a Starbucks and my fists, if you could see my fists, they're like, oh my gosh, clench. Like, I just suck you out with your two eyeballs. Like, how dare you call me selfish, idolatrous, how dare you, like, I'm like, what the heck, right? And I was making about him, but then I had to, like, humble out, had to go pray, had to walk away, because I was, like, hacks, right? I'm like, no, he's totally calling my sin, he loves me, he only wants what's best for me. All right, let me tell you, this can happen to anybody when we take our eyes off Jesus, we take our eyes off of the Word. And what Jesus is calling us to. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And look what happened. In verse 62.
Come on, honey.
What if you see the Son of Man ascend where he is before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them would not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say this. Why I've told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them from this time on. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him.
Wow.
Very eerie. Verse 67. Do you want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. See, this passage is intense. I mean, earlier on, many disciples turned back and they basically just fell away.
Right.
Because they just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And Jesus looks at the 12. So, well, what about you guys? What are you guys going to do? And I love the grit and the commitment of Jesus Christ because there was no limit to what he wasn't willing to do. He was so all in to save the world that I bet, I can guarantee you, if those 12 wanted to walk away and he was left with nothing, he was absolutely willing to start again.
Yep.
So inspired.
Yep.
Like, you guys want to go? Like, awesome. All right, well, I'm going back to Galilee, and I'm going to go find 12 more guys. Right? Because I'm on a mission, and I will get the job done, because my God can do the impossible, right?
Yeah.
This is why we believe. This is our heart. Like, if everybody leaves, we know. You know what I'm going to do? If it's just me and my wife, I'm going to grab my wife, and me and Jesse, we're going to get in the stroller, we're going to Sac State, and we're having Bible talk.
I'm just imitating Jesus. That level of commitment, let me tell you what, church, is going to change the world. Will change the world. It's changing the world right now.
Yeah.
You know what? And there's going to be those that are going to turn back. Remember, I told you at the end of the year, hey, the holidays are coming. All right, we're going to the winter workshop. And what we're going to do is we're going to come out of the winter workshop. And we're like, all right, who made it? Did everybody make it out?
Yeah.
Right? Here's a challenge. It should be a time where, like, we're super close to God and more grateful for Jesus and all this stuff and rooting our relationship. But, man, Satan goes after the disciples. You know what I'm talking about? And sadly, there were two disciples that decided to turn back and no longer follow Jesus. Decided to follow away. It was a hard teaching. Couldn't accept discipleship. Couldn't accept the level of commitment. And you know what? I came here expecting that to happen. Jim, right? Mission team, we're like, hey, we expect everything to go wrong.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? When you're there and you expect everything to run, you're not going to get freaked out.
Right.
Like, you know what? You still believe, like, hey, there's a God running this show, right?
That's true.
You know, and that's the way we should be with our lives. Like, come out of my minute. If the you're having a hard time with your finances, you know, health challenges, whatever it is. Like, you know what? You just don't freak out because you know what? There's a God behind this operation.
Yeah.
And he's going to take care of my life.
Yeah.
We're going to be absolutely fine. Are you with me?
Come on, man.
It doesn't shake me one bit. Because I came here to die.
Yeah.
And when I leave one day, I leave Sacramento. I'm not saying we're going anywhere right now. Amen. I want to be able to stay with confidence. You know, when I went there, I died.
Yeah.
It was not about me.
Wow.
That I gave everything. I gave everything for my family. You're my family. Whatever you need. That's my heart. How do I get that heart? Because that was Jesus' heart. No matter what it took, there was no limits. What can you do with a guy or a girl that has that level of commitment? What can Satan do? Let me tell you what. Nothing. And he's scared about it. He's going to go find somebody else. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Right? And I love what they say. Look at their conviction, church. Verse 68. Simon Peter answered, after he asked, like, you guys want to leave too? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Is that not hot or not? I mean, that was the conviction, like, where are we going to go? This is the truth. I know the scriptures. This is where this Jesus is where we got to be, right here with you. Right? You are the Holy One of God. You have the words. That was their conviction. Isn't that incredible? Right? And I put before you, like, they flat believe, and it's important, like, we can know the elementary truths of God's word. But I really want to encourage us this year as you go deeper in your relationship with God, like, not just know the elementary truths, the first principles of God, but even take that higher and just having convictions on why you do what you do.
Come on.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's so important for your faith.
Come on.
Yeah.
You believe, like, all right, we're a movement, but, you know, why do we do these things? Why do we send people out? You know, because sometimes if you're not careful, you can have all these feelings like, oh, dang, my roommate's leaving. Like, what's happening here? You know, my best friend, he's taking off. Like, what's going on here? Like, why do they need them? Let me tell you what, you can start feeling all those sorts of feelings. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But when you're rooted and you really know, like, what we're about and why we do what we do and being like Jesus.
Right.
He'll have a peace of mind.
Yeah, true.
When the call to sacrifice comes, you'll know exactly why.
Yeah.
When the call to commitment comes, you'll know exactly. Like these 12 right here. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You know,
come on, Jacob.
We look back, and as I mentioned before, I mean, the movement's almost 10 years old.
Woo!
Come on.
And for those of you who don't know, you're visiting with us. We have a plan to evangelize the world in this generation.
Come on.
Our plan's called the Crown of Thorns Project. Many of you got this at the workshop, right? And the first phase was to get to all 12 cities, the most populated cities all over the world. And if you draw a line to all those cities, it literally makes a crown of thorns all over the world, signifying Jesus dying for the world. And in 2009, we only had one church that was in green, and that was Santiago. And then I see this is filled with green that we've planted 11 churches. We got London, Sao Paulo, Mexico City, Paris, Sydney,
Chennai, Moscow, Manila, Lagos, and Dubai. And one more left. Hong Kong.
Yeah!
Is that incredible?
Come on, Red Dragon.
And Red Dragon, exactly. And you ask, like, how does that happen? Let me tell you how it happens. By this level of commitment. Embracing deception. I mean, there's no other way.
Come on, Jesus.
That Jesus was invested in those 12 guys. That literally, the faith and the conviction those guys had literally would go out and ignite a fire in Acts chapter 2. And by then, you go through the book of Acts, they evangelize the world in their generation.
Yep.
Because of that level of commitment. That's what's happening right now. Yep. So now how do we get over 70 churches, right, in over 31 countries? Limitless commitments.
Yep.
And limitless prayer. Are you with me?
Yes.
Right, and I am excited. I don't know about you, but I'm super excited about Operation Eagle.
Yay.
Right?
Yeah.
Operation Eagle. The plan for the evangelization of the USA for the sold out movements.
Amen.
Right? I mean, guys, this is incredible. 2017, they're going to plant Kona, Hawaii and Miami, Fort Lauderdale. 2018, there's going to be two plantings. By 2019, three. 2024, 2021, 5, 2022, 6, 2023, 7 plantings, 2024, 8 plantings to get the job done. Right? And maybe some of you might be some other spot. You don't know.
Get ready, Tyler.
Isn't that exciting? It's exciting. You know, I mean, you see how much red it is, but man, I mean, 7 years from now, that's gonna be solid green.
Come on.
Is that incredible?
Come on.
This is what we're doing. This is the why. You ask yourself, why do we do these things? Because about a year and a half ago, Lily was not sitting here in the front row.
Come on, Lily.
Come on.
Her sister was not sitting in the second row. Essence was not here with her mom. This is the why.
That's right.
So we can see souls restored back to God like we saw Jackie restored back to God. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Come on, bro.
You're going to see Jai get his sins forgiven today?
Yeah.
Is it worth seeing his soul saved?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's all because of your limitless commitment.
Yeah.
That's what's going to win this world. Amen? The last thing, we'll finish with this quickly. It's going to take a limitless love. For time's sake, I'm not going to read the scripture. Many of us know it very well. John 13, 34 to 35. It's a great scripture. And we know that Jesus says, as he says to his disciples right before, it's in the Last Supper, that they have to love each other as he loved them. And it's amazing to think that Judas, the one that would betray Jesus, nobody knew the whole entire time that he was the guy. That Jesus never loved him any less because there was no limits to his love.
Right.
And he was one of the guys. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you knew somebody that was going to totally sin against you and you had to hang with them for 3 years and you didn't treat them any differently.
Yeah.
Knowing them, like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
Right? I don't know about you, but you're like, man, I'd be a little short, a little irritable at times, right? But you didn't see that through Jesus. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Incredible, limitless love.
Come on.
And this is what we're striving to build. I mean, another thing taken out of the workshop, like, I just got to go after just being more loving than I am.
That's right.
You know, I'm reading a book right now to help out my marriage called The Love Dare. It's incredible. Right? Incredible, incredible book. You know, and I'm seeing not only is it going to help my, I mean, like, I'm being challenged on my love to not be so selfish.
Amen.
Right? But have an incredible love for my wife, but just even so many great principles, because fruit in scriptures, and even how she's going to be a better brother, a better church leader, a better friend. You know, it's incredible.
Come on, Jacob.
I mean, this is what we do. It's Christianity is so simple. Love God, love people.
Yes.
It's all rooted in love.
Yep.
True.
Right? You know, and people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yep.
Are you with me?
So
I believe we're going to see the impossible thing because, yeah, we're going to be praying, we're going to be committed, but, man, we're going to have a fierce love.
Yes.
It loves unconditionally, just like Jesus challenged his disciples. And who are we following? Jesus.
Yeah.
Turn with me to Philippians 2, and we're going to close with this.
Nice.
For me, this is what I'm going after.
Yeah.
My daughter's turning 5.
Oh.
Or she turned 5.
Yeah.
She starts school this year.
Oh. Oh, no.
And let me tell you what. I got to let her know how much I love her and keep her close, because now she's going to start going to other places. She's going to be influenced by so many other people.
Yeah.
And if I want to see her soul one day, soul saved one day, I got to love her so much more. All right? But not only just her, my family here.
Come on, bro.
And I love this passage. I want to share this insight with you. And we'll finish with this in Philippians 2. In verse 5. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father's.
Wow.
Jesus had a selfless love.
Come on.
There were no limits.
Yeah.
And the thing about this passage, and seeing what Jesus did,
yeah,
and thinking about that, that if there was anybody, as God, he was God. He was all man and all God. Yeah. Right? He had every right to refuse becoming a man, yet yielded and did because he was willing. He had the right to be served by all mankind, but came to serve instead. He had the right to live in peace and safety, but was willing to lay down his life for others. He was even willing to endure a grueling torture on the cross, but yet he loved. He cooperated and was willing to do his Father's will instead of his own. I love verse 5 where it says, like, this was his attitude. This is something I'm learning. Like, as a disciple, I got to continue to always have a heart that is willing. See, that's a limitless love. When you're just willing. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you ever been in that relationship, you know, where somebody asks you maybe to come pick you up or whatever, ask for this or whatever, and like, oh, you know, like, remember growing up, you know, I didn't want to get off the couch, so I'd always make my little sister go get me stuff. Right? You know? It just shows, epitomizes my selfishness right there. You know, but I'm even seeing this, like, I was reading, studying this out, just having a heart that's just more willing, especially in my marriage, but even seeing how that manifests to everything else.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what's the point in really arguing, like, if it's in your power to do so?
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus did. Like, he could have just stayed up in heaven where it was awesome. He's like, you know what? No. I'm willing to go down there, and I'm willing to suffer to set my people free.
Come on, bro.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
See, this is the heart. It's going to help us see the year of the impossible.
Amen.
It's the very heart that's going to continue to keep you faithful as you see this world win for Jesus.
Yep.
It's the heart that's going to sustain our spirits time and time again. Because all of us have no limits. If we believe that whatever it takes, if we make this decision, I guarantee you, you will see the impossible happen this year. This will get us to Davis. This will get us the 50 sold out disciples. This will help us to fund the Hong Kong mission team so there can be hope for all of China. Amen. This is going to help Operation Eagle and win the world so we can see more souls like we're going to see today. See Jai make Jesus Lord. Let's be a church without limits. I love you very much.